Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, hold on, I'm texting. Keep playing the music. Question mark. Okay, thank you. Excuse me there, folks. Hard to keep you holding there. It's one of those things where I had to get that text done or I'd have forgot about it, and then that person would have been waiting on me to text them. They'd be seeing me for an hour and a half sending something. You know how you look down and somebody's texting you?
The little
cloud or whatever. So they would have thought, wow, he's texting me a book. You know, a book of thought. All right, welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am Tim Wildman on this Thursday with Ed Battagliano because Brother Ray Pritchard's...
He's out teaching the Bible or something. I don't know.
You know, he's moving.
He's always preaching. He's moving. Is he really?
Yeah.
Is he leaving the Dallas area? Or
Yeah.
Where's he going?
Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Let me introduce our panel. Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning to you.
News director for American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. And the effervescent Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
I don't even know what that means. Do you know what that means?
No, but I know that.
I think it's complimentary.
Brian Fisher uses it to introduce himself on his show.
Effervescent?
Effervescent. Really? It means like bubbly and...
Is it effervescent or evervescent?
Effervescent.
E-F-F.
E-F-F.
Oh, E-F-F.
Effervescent.
Effervescent.
I believe
look
so.
Look that up.
Now you're making me...
Walker, what does that word mean?
Effer...
Yeah, effer, not a heifer.
Vescent. I wasn't
effer,
done.
Not heifervescent.
Effervescent means,
yeah.
According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, I'm filibustering here because it's loaded. It means joyously unrestrained.
I'm looking, it says giving off bubbles and fizzy, vivacious and enthusiastic.
I don't know. That doesn't sound very masculine.
Does it?
You sure don't want to call Brian Bubbles.
No, Brian's sure. Not. No.
Hey, Bubbles.
Brian's a man.
Yeah, he's a man's man.
And Brian's, you know, he may be a, quote, joy to be around, end quote.
Yeah.
You have to ask his wife, Debbie, what day we're talking about here. But anyway, so effervescent is, I don't know. I don't know if that's gender neutral or
you
what.
You called exactly. Your son effervescent.
I did. Well, he's joyful.
I'll take it as a compliment.
Walker's joyful.
I'll take it as a compliment.
And we all
but he's a masculine guy. He hunts. He played football. Yeah. Did you play football or
that's
baseball?
Right.
Or
that's right.
I don't think so. Effervescency is not a...
it's not feminine. It just means like a bubbly personality.
And yeah.
That's right. Gotcha. But those people can be annoying. But Walker's not. Can they not?
You just keep walking.
Have you ever been around somebody that's happy all the time?
Well, that's what people think about me. They just, he's just.
Well, they don't, Ed. No, they don't. I got to tell you. But hey, we love you anyway, Pizza Man.
Hey, look, I am secure in my masculinity, so
yes,
no need.
Right.
That's right.
Walk on eggshells.
We want to call you effervescent.
Do it all day.
You'll take that as a compliment.
That's right.
All right. So I think Ray Pritchard. He's moving.
Kansas City.
He's moving from Dallas to Kansas City, yeah?
He has grandkids there.
Ah.
Well, that isn't what I heard. I heard it had to do with IRS. That was the rumor.
That was the rumor.
Thanks for ruining that.
Rumor that just begun on live radio.
No, I'm just teasing. You're right. No. Ray has grandchildren.
That's right.
He moved to Dallas a few years ago to be around his grandchildren. Now, he has three sons, I think, that live in different parts
of the
country.
They're all over the place, yeah.
They're all over the place, but... Mm-hmm. But then a couple years into their time in Dallas, then their grandkids moved to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
So now they're following them.
Yeah.
So
that's my only nightmare.
Yeah.
Is that my grandkids.
Move and away?
I'm not talking about my son and my daughter. I don't care where they live. I'm just talking about where the grandkids go, you know, so that my grandkids move off somewhere. Tim, I got to tell you. If they go, I'm going to have to leave A of A.
I hear your son may get a job offer in Tuktoyaktuk.
Yeah. Well, wherever that is, I may have to.
Year-round snow. Year-round snow.
I may have to stay here then.
So, Brother Ray, I may be, have to miss a few days with us because he is He is moving to be near his grandchildren. You're listening to Today's Issues. Walker, tell us what we're doing on that there internet, and then we'll get started with Fred's news for today.
Yes, we are live streaming on Facebook. We do this each weekday, 10 to 11:30 Central, while the show is on the air live. We live stream on Facebook and YouTube, both places. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can find the show that way. Also, watch it. You can watch it later if you'd like. It'll be archived there. You can also visit afr.net, and listen anytime, anywhere, as long as you have an internet connection.
Okay, so check us out on the internet. We have a lot of people who watch and or listen to us. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net is our email address. And all right, Fred, good morning, and what's in the news?
Well, the big news this morning is that President Donald Trump last night signed the proclamation directing deployment of the National Guard to the U.S.-Mexico border. And I was trying to look for details. I'm not sure if that deployment has already begun, but it's going to be just a matter of hours before that happens. The governors, certainly of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, are welcoming this. Obviously, as we talked about yesterday, the National Guard under their direction. Governor Jerry Brown, California, not so much. We're not sure where he's going to go with this. But we're not talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers, folks. We're talking maybe anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 total across there. And so that's happening because of the actually growing traffic on our southern border. Now, yesterday, during the daily White House briefing, Homeland Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who, by the way, is an incredibly smart lady, she came out and gave a briefing as to why we are stepping up things on the southern border right now. And one of the things, and she's going to talk about this, we're going to hear her voice in just a second, is that more and more of these people coming up to the southern border, quite often you get the image of, you know, people just straggling up there and just got to get across to get food and shelter and sort of thing. No. It's gotten more sophisticated than that. One of the things that's being used now is the phrase, now listen to this, folks, I didn't know this until yesterday, is the phrase that can be uttered by these illegal immigrants, I'm here because of credible fear, all right? Use that phrase, credible
fear.
They're
being told to use it?
They're being told to use it. Come up, I'm facing credible fear back home in Honduras or wherever it is. And that gets you in the door. So listen to Homeland Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen as she describes the extent of this problem on our southern border right now.
Before 2013, approximately one out of every 100 arriving aliens claimed credible fear, which is the first step in the United States asylum process. Today, more than one out of 10 do so. Why this matters is because this number unfortunately demonstrates and is indicative of the rising level of fraud that plagues our system. Before 2011, over 90% of arriving aliens were single adult males. Today, 40% are families and children. The traffickers and smugglers know that if you arrive with a family under our current legal and court system, you have a much better chance of being released into the United States. We have seen the smugglers advertise this as an enticement, and we have seen traffickers, unfortunately, fraudulently use children to gain entry into our country. Those falsely claiming asylum know that if they use the magic words credible fear, because of the low threshold that currently exists and because of the very large backlog, they will be released with work permits into the interior for many years before they see a judge.
So there you have it. The picture can be distorted by the mainstream media and other that these are poor, straggling folks that just want to get across that border. It's not the case. This has become extremely well organized. Now, she mentioned there a few moments ago about the traffickers and how they're becoming huge players in all of this. Basically, they're like travel agents, only they're trafficking illegally in these individuals.
And making money doing it.
And making a whole lot of money doing it. This is cut two. She just fleshes this out a little bit more, what these traffickers are up to.
The numbers continue to increase. April traditionally is a month in which we see more folks crossing the border without a legal right to do so. So partly it's modeling, partly it's anticipating. We are seeing more and more advertising, and very unfortunately, by the traffickers and smugglers to our south, specific to how to get around our system and enter our country and stay. We have documented cases of borrowing children appearing at the border as a family unit in a fraudulent way. So why today, not yesterday, tomorrow? Today is the day. Today's the day we want to start this process. The threat is real, as I mentioned.
So adults, pay some money, and you can want to pay some extra money. We'll supply some children for you that you can pass off as your children.
Now, what I'm guessing is that you might have a family with five kids, uh-huh. and some money swaps hands, and you split the kids up.
Yeah.
So it looks like two of the kids are part of your family, because families have a better... Hey, you know, they're playing on sympathies.
Of course.
Of good-hearted Americans. So this is to your point, Tim, where people, you know, say we're... America's, you know, we're cruel, we don't care about people. They're actually playing on the fact that we mm-hmm. are sympathetic and compassionate, and so it's a big con game.
Exploiting it.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, it's just, I want you to listen. What I'm going to play for you next is a gentleman who is the vice president of the Border Patrol Council. He was being interviewed by Fox News last night, Fox News anchor Harris Faulkner. And in full disclosure, she said, my family, the Harris Faulkner family, owns property down at the border. She says, I know exactly what's going on. She was questioning someone and letting them know, don't try to mislead me on the facts here. I know what's going on. But this gentleman, his name is Art Del Gato. He talked about, and listen to this, folks, he says the importance of having these National Guard down on the border because it is desperately needed. Have a listen to what he had to say.
Agent Cueto, can you talk with me about the immediate need for a wall system?
It's very important. You hear people argue the wall and say, well, people will still climb over it, dig underneath, go through it. That doesn't mean you give up. That doesn't mean you wave the white flag. What the wall does, being placed in strategic locations, is it gives our agents that opportunity to be able to respond. It's that extra delay for them so we can respond. I often talk about owning our own home. It's similar to owning your own home. You lock your doors at night. People can still break in, but you still lock your doors at night. Mm-hmm. And one quote that I've been saying over and over is, the reason we do lock our doors at night is because we love the people inside, not because we hate the people outside. Illegal's not a race.
That was profound right
there. It was.
That was incredible.
First, who was that? Del Ghetto?
Yes, he is the vice president of the Border Patrol Council. But that last phrase, illegal is not a race. And what is he talking about there? The criticism of President Trump and those who are advocating for the wall for protection of our southern border try to frame it as racism, try to frame it as Donald Trump is against the phrase they use as the Browning of America. No, it's not. Del Gato, he said two things here. We build the wall because we love the people inside, not because we hate the people on the other side.
Right.
But that number two, mm-hmm. illegal is not a race. And that's what the Democrats, the mainstream media, has tried to paint this, is that Trump is anti-immigrant. No, he's not.
Well, it's because they do that because they want to end the discussion.
Yes.
It's like throwing I have to say Trump card, it's got nothing to do with Donald Trump. It's like throwing a Trump card down and saying, okay, now the game's over.
Yeah.
The discussion's over because you're a racist.
Yeah.
So we need to stop the immigration discussion and let people flow across that border. Personally, I wouldn't care if they were if it was millions of Polish people coming across the border, mm-hmm. or Vietnamese or Italians for that matter. I just want to know who's coming across that border, and we need to stop flooding border communities. And it doesn't has nothing to do with race. And I agree, that's a great statement, mm-hmm. and I'm going to steal it. Illegal is not a race.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's, but now, how many, Walker, how many National Guard Is the president moving to
We're not sure yet because they're in the early stages of this. Early, but yet it could happen rapidly, like Fred said at the beginning of the show. But what the president is going to do is he's going to utilize what is called Title 32. Title 32.
I was reading about that the other night.
I was reading about it yesterday. Well,
when I got
literally
through Title 31, I couldn't wait.
Right.
I was like I got through about midnight. I said, tomorrow. Right. I don't know if I can wait till tomorrow to find out what happens in Title 32, but go ahead.
Right. So Title 32 is what has been used by governors in the past. So the governor is the one who actually authorizes the National Guard to go to their state border, but they have to have consent from the executive branch. So in this case, the governors of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Am I missing one? Nevada?
No, those
not
are not
bordering. That's the
no,
four.
No, you got them right.
So those four governors will seek approval from President Trump, which he will grant, to send their National Guard to the border and work in conjunction with Homeland Security.
Well, now what? But California. Fred was saying was Moonbeam.
Mr. Brown.
Governor Brown. Mm-hmm. Formerly known as, or is he still known as Moonbeam by a lot of folks?
Not by his friends, but okay. I think that he is called Moonbeam.
He's called Moonbeam. President Trump, you know. But President Trump didn't invent that name.
No. Jerry
Brown, but I don't know if he'll work with the president or not. I wonder how that would work out if President Trump wants to use National Guardsmen from California on their border. And the governor doesn't want him to. I don't know.
I think, and again, now are you going to discuss this on your show?
Yeah, this
Saturday.
Weekend.
So
tell us about your show.
So that's going to be a very interesting show. You're going to deal with some of the issues revolved around this.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say this, and then tell our listeners about their show and how they can listen to it. But I do know that, like for Hurricane Katrina, they had National Guard units from around the country that came in to help. So I'm wondering, since San Diego County is not participating in the sanctuary state effort on the part of the liberals, I'm wondering if President Trump can take National Guard troops from, let's say, Texas and put them in San Diego County.
Yeah, from my understanding, he can use troops from any state as long as the governor consents. So he can just find a neighboring governor like Arizona or New Mexico, for the troops to travel to California, and they really don't even need consent from the county because this is a federal issue. And so, he can use troops from another state to go to the California border.
Without, in this case, Governor Brown's approval?
Yes, the approval from the governor, from my understanding, I may be wrong, but from my understanding, the governor's approval is only needed to use the state National Guard.
Okay.
The National Guard who are active or who are signed up, mm-hmm. and their base, per se, is in the state of California. Right. So he can't, President Trump, without the governor's consent of California, cannot use National Guard troops from California,
mm-hmm.
to secure their border, but he can use another state's, which governor consents.
For a federal deployment.
Yes.
For an issue.
That's right.
That really doesn't make sense to me. Not your explanation, but if the President of the United States can deploy the National Guard somewhere.
Well,
shouldn't matter
because they're initially under
shouldn't matter
governors.
What
they're initially under a governor's the state's control.
True.
So that's
ultimately
protocol.
They're under the president's control.
There are three titles, and Title 32 is one of the three of which you can authorize. The president, in conjunction with governors, can authorize. That's the title that Trump is going to use if he wanted to go to an extreme measure. He could use another title, which is a more extreme, I think so. And he could authorize the National Guard in California without the governor's
yes,
consent.
And that's called federalizing the National Guard.
Ultimately,
he can.
Ultimately, he can do that if he wanted to. Talking about the president.
Right. I think that's what happens in national. Well, in if there was ever a national, I mean, this is not going to happen, but a national emergency and a governor said, well, we're not sending our troops. They can be federalized.
Right.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. You didn't tell us about your weekend show on AFR.
Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Central. Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Central. You can listen to the show. It's a 30-minute show, two 15-minute segments, thereabouts. And also you can, of course, listen to our podcast afterwards on at AFR.net.
What's the name of the show?
Exposing Washington. So standard, typically I will expose most of the time it's corruption or things that I think are going wrong in Washington. But occasionally I cover good news, and this weekend I'll be covering the negative aspect of immigration, of illegal immigration, but also covering the good aspect, which is President Trump authorizing the National Guard.
Yeah.
And you've covered some really interesting topics like gun control in the wake of the Parkland, Florida thing.
And it gives
folks need to give it a listen.
It gives me time. With 30 minutes, it sounds like short, but if you just cover one topic in 30 minutes, I can really break down the details, go through this weekend. I'll go through Title 32, how this is going to work, how many are going to go. Hopefully I'll know by then. More details like that.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
All right. Well, it's related to what we've been talking about. A story came out from the Associated Press this morning that this whole issue of immigration border security is going to be a big issue in this fall's election. And, you know, Democrats are going to come from one angle, Republicans the other. But what I wanted to do is give you a demonstration of the media bias on this story. I'm going to read for you. I haven't touched this Associated Press story that came out this morning. Have a listen to it. In House races across the country, both parties are using the fight over immigration. Right there, that's a lie. There's not a fight over immigration. There's a fight over illegal immigration.
Right.
And strange enough, the secular media keeps leaving out that word illegal. It's about illegal immigration.
Oh, you think it's intentional?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fanned by tweets from President Donald Trump about a crisis on the Mexican border that others say doesn't exist. Now, you just heard the Homeland Secretary talking about how bad it is down there. They're suggesting, some people are suggesting, there's no crisis on our southern border. None whatsoever. National Guard's not needed. Wall's not needed. Democrats say the wall's not needed. That's why they wouldn't fund it. To fire up the base voters in midterm elections, Democrats think it can help them reach minorities, young people, and suburban moderates repelled by Trump's strident anti-immigrant stances.
Wow, that is a news story? That's not an opinion piece?
This is not an editorial or an opinion piece. This is a news story.
Strident anti-immigration views. Again, not anti-illegal immigration.
And you need to keep in mind, and most people probably know this, but this is an Associated Press article, right?
That's right.
Okay, Associated Press articles go all over the place.
They do.
That's right.
So you would find the same Associated Press article in a newspaper in Dallas,
right?
As you would find a newspaper in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. because it's one story that these news services subscribe to the AP.
Right.
That's why when you read an AP story and they've got such a slanted mm-hmm. take, mm-hmm. it has more reach, I guess you could say,
right?
Than a local article about an issue, for example. But yeah, they've been doing that. You know, they intentionally don't put illegal in there. Mm-hmm. It's like when you're talking about immigration, because, and it's clearly a biased, an unfair, a misrepresentation of the issue, because we're not talking about immigration.
And for them to say some people say there's nothing going on. When my wife and I were first married, we were sitting down to eat supper, and I said, you know, some say this dinner is undercooked. And I was trying to make the point that there are other views out there, and she caught me right away. She said, it doesn't sound like other people are saying it. It sounds like you're saying it.
Right.
And I got in trouble.
How did that ever end up?
I just kind of made
it. You mean
it
was undercooked, not overcooked?
Yeah, you have to excuse me, folks. I'm effervescent and bubbly. And sometimes I just say things.
The effervescent Italian.
Yeah. Some say,
get
I've heard some
out of it
unnamed sources, Diane,
us.
Say this dinner was not cooked well. She didn't buy it.
No.
You got to choose your heels, Ed.
Yeah.
You learned that, though, early on in your marriage,
did.
Didn't you? We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's the question. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back-to-back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is worried about a blue wave that could hurt Republicans, voicing his fears after a liberal judge from Milwaukee won a seat on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Walker says other Republicans could face defeat in the midterm elections thanks to outside money from special interest groups. But it's not just Wisconsin. Conservative voters across the country are still angry at Republicans for that massive spending bill, the one that still funds Planned Parenthood but does not fully fund abortion. Border wall. And Republican leadership seems more interested in fighting President Trump's popular agenda instead of fighting Democrats. And that could spell trouble at the ballot box. The base of the party is demoralized. They cannot trust Republicans, and the Democrats see an opportunity to win. If that happens, buckle up, America, because the first order of business will be impeachment. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
So, last night, in the grocery...
We know, you were reading Title 31.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
This is before.
This is something different.
This is before I read Title 31. But anyway, Alice and I were at the grocery store, and I love berries. And so we buy blueberries, blackberries,
strawberries.
I love berries.
Yeah.
And they're healthy for you.
Right.
Antioxidants. It's one of the three things the doctor says can't kill you.
What are the three things?
Yeah.
Yeah, berries.
A couple other things that you won't die from. Broccoli. Anyways, I did not know, I'm 55 years old, and I know some people are going to go, where have you been? That there's such things as these giant blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
What do you mean, like, giant?
Well, I don't know how to describe them.
I'm with you.
Most blueberries are really small little berries, right?
Right.
These berries look like grapes. These blueberries
really?
Are.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
The size of. I didn't either. You knew that, Fred?
Not that big.
No, these blueberries, okay, they're almost the size of grapes. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brent? Walker, you have any idea
negative,
what I'm talking
about? Negative.
Okay, so see, people aren't going to believe me.
I'd be checking into that. They're probably chemically enhanced.
Genetically
so
modified.
In this case, they will kill me. I haven't asked my doctor what about giant blueberries. I just mentioned to him, what about blueberries? Because the other day, my doctor says, I said, well, I'm eating, you know, a granola bar for breakfast. I thought I was doing good.
Yeah.
He goes, well, almost anything you unwrap, Tim, is probably not healthy for you. Huh?
Almost anything you unwrap?
Yeah, that's what he told me. Which I love my doctors. I respect, you know, what he tells me and everything. But I like.
You love your doctor?
Well, all right, sausage and egg and biscuit, gone.
Right. You have to unwrap it.
Orange juice, high sugar.
That's right.
Out of here.
I know.
So I think, I finally found a granola bar I really like, you know? And then he tells me.
If you unwrap it.
Yeah, if you unwrap it, it's probably not good for you.
So he says, you can eat blueberries, just not giant blueberries.
I haven't asked him about that. I don't even think I want to, quite frankly, because I enjoyed those giant blueberries.
I can't imagine there's anything wrong with
look
giant
up giant blueberries.
They're
you don't think there is?
That's probably
Fred
just
says they may inject them with some kind of growth hormone.
And look, let me just clue you. He's from Canada. Okay. All right, so half of what he says, you can't believe.
Okay. Unless it involves hockey. Anyway, I did not know. 55 years old, and I never knew there was such thing as
that's
giant.
Probably some kind of crossbreeding giant kind of thing where they get giant.
You breed blueberries?
Blueberry and an orange.
And a grape. No. What I'm saying is there are various strains of all kinds of foods.
Like
so
the
you
flu.
Let's stop this because I don't want to think I'm eating anything that has, quote, strains.
Trying to educate ignorant people. I'm just going to give up.
Okay.
I was going to do a little Gregor Mendel here.
Giant blueberries.
And talk to you about
giant blueberries. I'll see if they're next to the Jolly Green Giant here.
It takes you right to the CDC page.
Green Giants. All right. CDC. Yeah, there they are. Giant blueberries.
And where do they come from?
Well, Michigan.
Michigan.
Among other places. Hey, we need to get to our our guest here. And Jan Markell is with us most Thursdays. She's with Olive Tree Ministries and has a weekend program here on American Family Radio where you will hear no discussion of giant blueberries.
Well, there goes my first question.
Well, Jan.
Are there giant blueberries
in
Minnesota?
Jan's a more serious natured journalist, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're genetically modified.
Okay, let's get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. All right, I'm sorry.
You got me worried, but I'm going to have to get to that later. Jan has got her program on the weekends here on American Family Radio called Understanding the Times, and she joins us now from the great state of Minnesota. Good morning, Jan.
Yeah, but we don't try to understand blueberries. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, have you ever heard of giant blueberries?
It's too cold up here for blueberries.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's 10 degrees last night.
They're worried about blue toes and fingers.
I'm sensing Jan's not in a good mood.
No, I'm not. The robins haven't even come back yet.
Is anybody else sensing
robins
that here on the panel?
Even come back.
Okay, well, anyway, hey, Jan, I've got a new favorite liberal in the world.
Uh-oh.
Yep, I got a new favorite, and his name is he's the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I love this liberal. this guy, we talked about this last week, and seriously, this fella, he's the new Crown Prince. I don't know how new. He looks to me to be in his maybe...
he's 32.
Okay, early 30s, and he is trying to move, it seems to me, his country to a more Western...
Right.
Friendly style of government and maybe even culture. I don't know. But Saudi Arabia has been known to be very strict in their views of Islam. Of course, they're Sunni, right?
They're Sunni, exactly.
He talked the other day. He's making a tour of the U.S., and the Crown Prince talked about Israel's right to their own land.
That's right.
And I had to read that three times, you know. So talk about what you know about this fella here. And
well, first I'll give a biblical reference, not for this gentleman, but for Saudi Arabia. In Ezekiel 38:39, Saudi Arabia is referred to as Sheba and Dedan. And the context of Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, is, in fact, kind of the Russian invasion of Israel. The participating nations are power to the north. We believe that to be Russia, as well as Iran, Turkey and some other nations, probably Libya. But anyway, the reference to Sheba and Dedan, which is Saudi Arabia, is in that context. Sheba and Dedan, they're protesting this invasion of Israel, and we couldn't have fathomed, we couldn't have imagined that 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So in some diplomacy going on here, but with the Trump administration and Saudi Arabia, which of course began last May with an incredible visit by the president, and then some ongoing talks with Jared Kushner. Kushner and this Crown Prince Salman are apparently good friends, interesting, an Arab and a Jew. And you're right, Tim. Salman is trying to modernize Saudi Arabia and bring her more into the Western world. They got a long way to go,
right,
because of their treatment of women and other things. But at least he's got the vision to get the ball rolling.
Now he just made lawful the women to be able to drive in Saudi Arabia, didn't he? Didn't I see that?
I believe that's true. Now, he's not the ruler yet.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's in line to be the ruler. I think an uncle or somebody's still the head. But this young man is slated to, he's very high in leadership. What I find interesting is his relationship with Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
I mean, they are best pals.
Yeah.
And again, you never would have seen this 10 years ago.
No.
Never.
No, and in fact, two things I wanted to get to this this Russia Iran Turkey coalition that was announced yesterday as tackling quote peace in the Middle East end quote. But I want to ask you about did you know, because of this Crown Prince and it's kind of the statements toward more freedom in Saudi Arabia that he's been talking about, that the jihadists, the Al Qaeda types, they're out to kill him. Did you see that?
Yeah, and you know, they very well could succeed.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine the security around this gentleman.
Right. Anyway, I saw that, and you did expect that, and of course, Bin Laden, Osama Bin Laden, he was a Saudi. He left, and because he was more radical, he didn't think the Saudi Arabian government was Islamic enough. So he wanted, you know, he tried to come back and attack government officials and so forth.
But remember, most of the attackers on 9/11 were Saudis. So, I mean, it is a radical nation made up of some radical Islam. However, they're Sunnis, they're not Shias.
Right.
And that's at the root of all this, is the Sunni fear of Iranian Shia Islam. That's why Saudi Arabia is now more of a partner with Israel, certainly more of a partner with America, because they are afraid of Iran. We've talked about that before, but it's the reality on the ground.
All right. One other question I had for you before we let you go and talk about your program this weekend. Last night I was reading a story about a meeting, I guess it was yesterday, between Iran, Russia, and Turkey. I'm talking about Vladimir Putin and Igor, is that his name?
Erdogan of Turkey, you mean?
Erdogan, the Turkey.
Recep Erdogan, yeah.
And the Iranian top Ayatollah. These three had a meeting, and they're talking about bringing, quote, a ceasefire, lasting ceasefire to Syria. What do you make of that?
Well, again, it's right out of the Bible,
okay,
right out of the pages that Ezekiel wrote so many centuries ago, Ezekiel 38-39. That's the alignment. Those are the three major conspirators in the Gog-Magog invasion. And I just want to say one more thing about all of that region. And I am really concerned if America's pulling out of Syria. There could be wreckage that we can't comprehend if, in fact, we're going to pull out of whatever we've got. I don't think we know all that we have in Syria, but this is not a time to be pulling out of conflicts in the Middle East because, again, they're so fragile and so many lives are at risk. So I hope and pray Donald Trump changes his mind.
You know, the part of that that triangle we just mentioned. So do you think this is Bible prophecy?
Yeah.
Or you do?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's in the formation. We don't know. We don't know how long it is before it plays out.
Okay. Okay. Well, it is, you know, they Iran and Turkey, they're most Muslim countries. Of course, Turkey is a westernized, for the most part, Muslim country.
Yeah.
Iran, not so much because of the control of the Ayatollahs. Are they both Shia, though? Do you know?
No, Turkey is again, is Sunni. Shia is a huge minority in the, anywhere around the world, they're the minority.
Well,
but they're the ones who are waiting for the Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah. It's only the Shias who are waiting for the man with a plan for them.
Vladimir Putin, Russia here, you know, it's kind of like one of these things is not like the other. You know, looking at this, I'm going, what is Russia? Why does Russia think it benefits Russia to prop up Iran? I do not get that one at all.
To prop up Iran?
Well, I don't know, prop up Iran. Why the close relationship between Russia, which is a historically Christian nation, and the Ayatollah, which is a radical Islamic view of the world? They don't like working with Satans, little or big.
Yeah, well, I think Iran is a useful idiot of Putin, because Iran is stirring up trouble everywhere, particularly in that region, and Vladimir Putin can take advantage of all that from Yemen to you name it. I mean, Gaza, the trouble is being stirred up by the Iranians, and the Russians are ready to move in for the kill because of it. Keep your eyes on all of this, folks.
Okay.
This is leading to something serious.
Okay. All right, your show this weekend, what are you going to be talking about?
We're going to be really, for the next two weekends, looking at this invasion of privacy, be it Facebook, be it Google, be it any, you name it. Nobody is avoiding the eye of the spies anymore, and it's not conspiratorial, it's just fact.
Okay, that's on American Family Radio. It's called Understanding of the Times with Jan Markell, and it airs on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 1 o'clock Central Time, Sundays at noon Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell.
I would just add this one thing. I think one of the reasons why Russia is so interested in what's going on in Syria is that Russia has a naval base there, and they have always wanted a naval port in the Mediterranean for strategic reasons. Because, you know, for a long time they had their fleet in the Black Sea, and in the case of war, they can be bottled up there, and so they want, and so they have a base, and that's why they want Assad to remain in control of Syria, so they can keep that naval base. Mm-hmm. So I'm not contradicting what Jan Markell said, because they do want Iran to keep, you know, stirring things up, but this is. They also have strategic reasons.
I just don't understand the. I'm having a hard time understanding the relationship between Russia and Iran, because Iran seems to me would be a threat to Russia. Ultimately,
I mean, they could wind up, but I think that they like the fact that Iran is stirring things up in the Middle East against Israel. But isn't Iran also in support of the Syrian regime?
Yes.
Assad?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's part of they Russia wants Assad to stay in power because Russia has a relationship with Assad. They have the base in Syria. Iran is also in support of Assad, propping them up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can't read Putin's mind, but I think
if you take international politics in college, I took that. It's very everything's so complex. There's so many players in every game. It's more than just Putin and the three leaders. There's so many key players behind it, so many special interests behind it, mm-hmm. that it takes hours upon hours to break this stuff down. And some stuff you just don't know the answer to.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the Egyptians are allowing the Israeli military to go into their country and take out ISIS, or what amounts to ISIS. I read that the other day, then I'm going, here's the Saudi crown prince. Saying Israel has a right to its land, and then you've got Russia and Iran joining up, and Turkey. Turkey and, remember, Turkey and Russia were kind of at odds, what, a couple of years ago? When
Yeah, but Turkey does not like the Kurds. And
to Walker's point,
yeah,
here,
that's where it gets complicated.
We've got like 10 to 20 different groups.
Everyone's got their own reason for being buddies with who they're buddies with.
Yes.
So when you got the Egyptians and the Saudis butting up with Israel, it's to act as a counterweight to this other group that is now, for their own reasons, buddying up, which is Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Yeah.
And did you see where the well, we can talk about this next hour, tomorrow, where Israel just took out a potential major attack on their country out in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? They got the jihadis were planning on attacking them with a ship. Is that right? And they went in and took that, found it, as Israelis typically do. They do a great job of defending and protecting their own country. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. If you want to watch this show and access the news stories we're talking about so you can have them to read for yourself or comment on the program, you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page or our YouTube page. YouTube, type in Today's Issues live stream and watch the show on YouTube. Well, Dr. Alex McFarland is with us. Alex joins us from wherever he is. How do you like that introduction? Where are you, Alex?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and fascinated by the conversation about how Russia has inserted itself into all of the countries and actions of the Middle East.
Is Russia Gog or Magog in the Bible, do you think, in Bible prophecy, Alex?
I think Russia is definitely in Bible prophecy, and as Jan was saying, the Ezekiel 38-39 prophecies are very key to that. You know, it's interesting that in the Bible we read about the Fertile Crescent, where Abraham, you know, God told Abraham, everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you that land. There is some scholars call the Shia Crescent, that is Iraq through Syria. And Russia is involved in all of those nations. And a lot of people are asking why. And I think it's two E's, economics and energy. I mean, really. And also, I think Vladimir Putin likes the international limelight, really. I don't know that this is the major cause of Russia's friendships with all of these Islamic countries of the Middle East. But let me say this. Russia and the USA are almost peers right now, internationally. And Putin, in making deals with all of these countries in the Middle East, seems to be positioning himself as a global statesman and a stabilizing force that America and American leaders have not been able to achieve in the last 25, 30 years. I mean, do you guys think that's a fair assessment?
Ed?
Well, I think that that Putin is I think his main goal is to bring Russia back to a place of prominence. That's
right.
Why they've increased their defense spending. They still don't spend nearly, the percentage of gross domestic product as we do. But that, I think that's his goal. And so his goal is also, I don't think he's always a villain. I think that when the Soviet Union, this is my opinion, when the Soviet Union collapsed, I think the West took advantage of the chaos in the former Soviet Union and kind of took away their buffer. The Russian people, my understanding is, have always been a little bit paranoid about invasion. Right. You look at, Nazi Germany invading Russia. They were invaded by Napoleon. They were invaded by, by the Mongols. So they always have wanted a buffer, and the West took that away. So I think some of this is bitterness towards the way they were treated, and Putin mm-hmm. wants Russia to be a strong player again. And so, from poisoning, people in Great Britain and building up their military and being involved in chaos to kind of poke the finger in the eye of the U.S. and the West, I just think that's all going on at the same time. So, I mean, that's just my take on Russia.
Let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask that. It'll take us on a rabbit trail here. Fred, you've studied the Middle East and the Bible and prophecy and those kind of things. Do you, what do you
absolutely
think
and
about
I,
all
I
this?
Think we're heading and to agree with Ed, I think Putin is a very proud man, and they were embarrassed by perestroika and what that led to. And you know, when
you mean the weakening of their
Soviet
country?
Union, yeah,
the Soviet Union broke up. So then you have all these satellite countries that were part of the quote Soviet Union, went independent for the most, you know, and you had then Russia.
That's right.
Left, and Russia has been. So you think Vladimir Putin's trying to bring Russia back as a superpower?
They want to be that superpower status to get back in that United States-China realm,
right?
And want to be respected, which is why you know he's been aggressive in Ukraine. You know this is all part of it. But I think to go what Jan was talking about and Alex back to biblical prophecy on this, I think most people realize when the Soviet Union splintered. People wondered, okay, how does this fit into Bible prophecy? Well, I think, you know, if you, I believe prophecy, we knew it had to come back together again as a superpower in order to fulfill what Alex and Jan have been talking about there. And that's what we're seeing. This is all part of biblical prophecy. Russia is that giant bear from the north that will come down and attack Israel eventually, with probably allies like Turkey and Syria.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alex, because the fact of the matter is, God, you know, prophecy is going to come to pass. The players involved don't always know why they're doing what they're doing. They think they're doing it for this reason, and God is allowing it or causing it to happen because he is overseeing the prophetic word.
All right, fellers, to borrow from Ed, as he mocks Southerners. When Ed mocks Southerners, he says, hey, okay, fellers.
I'm with you, fellers.
Yeah, see, there you go. There you go. That, he doesn't tell you he's mocking you, but he's mocking a whole region.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not mockery. It's any more than when I do my Rocky Balboa thing.
Yeah. All right. You're picking. You're having fun at
I'm
our,
just having,
you're having fun.
Fun
at a redneck's expense. This is what you're doing. Just like Jeff
Foxworthy. I am effervescent.
Just like Jeff Foxworthy, except you haven't monetized it yet.
And can't figure out a way to do it.
Let me ask you this. Okay, please do not, again, listeners, do not throw things at your radio and tell Tim to get off the air because he doesn't believe in the Bible. Okay, please don't do that. Have I not read what y'all are talking about before in the 70s when I read Hal Lindsey books? How this was imminent and... the last day's not here again, Fred.
And you have 60 seconds to explain that, Fred.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you have to look at things in God's time frame.
God hasn't told me.
Yeah. It's always dangerous to say, we're here, we're at this point.
Yeah.
This is when it's going to happen.
But that's what y'all said.
We're not there yet.
I didn't say it, fellers. I just wanted.
Okay. The next Alex. Alex, you know what I'm saying. You get my point.
Exactly. Because, you know, I remember in the late 80s when I was a brand new Christian, you know, we thought it was imminent. And let me say, though, 40 years from the Hal Lindsey and the Jack Van Impe and the end times, 40 years is a grain of sand in the prophetic timetable.
Gotcha.
I
agree with y'all's eschatology, but I'm just saying, as the Bible says, we can't. These things are going to happen. Probably with these very players that we're talking about when we really do get to the point of Armageddon. But I'm just saying it may not be in June.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I bet if you wrote a book about it being in June, you'd be a millionaire.
Yes, you would.
Huh?
Right up to the time it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, we didn't get to the your new book. We'll do that next week. Okay.
God bless you, fellas. God bless you.
I'm with you, fellas.
Oh, there he goes again. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.